In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul met with the elders at Ephesus. And among many things, he had this to say to them in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd or to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. One of the key points that Paul makes in that particular verse has to do with the church and with the fact that the church was purchased with blood. Now, we know that this was the blood of Christ that the church was purchased with. And in thinking about the purchasing of the church, we see how much God values the church today. The church is that for which Jesus died and shed his blood. And the relationship between Christ and the church is something that's described in Ephesians chapter 5 as being higher than and greater than even the closest relationship that we have on earth, that between husband and wife. And so it is a precious relationship, and it is an eternal relationship that Christ has with the church. And we certainly want to understand who the church is and what Christ has in mind for the church and how Christ built his church. And along those lines, sometimes we sing some songs in relationship to the church. One particular song that I have in mind this evening is titled, For Christ and the Church. And in this particular song, there are several things that are mentioned. The author of the song is Eliza E. Hewitt. It was written in 1890. And the lyrics were written by William J. Kirkpatrick in 1890 also. Each one of the stanzas of this song says something about the church. That the church's responsibilities is to praise lovingly. That for the Christ and the church, we need to pray fervently. For Christ and the church, we need to give willingly. And then finally, for Christ and the church, we need to serve faithfully. I don't think we have this song within our song books that we have here, but it is one that we sing in various different places. It's one that I've sung growing up, and I know that probably you've heard it before and have sung it. And so this evening, I'd like for us to think about the lyrics of this song and then put some biblical thoughts to the lyrics, put some scriptures to the lyrics, and thinking about the topic of this song, For Christ and the Church. First of all, for Christ and the church, let us praise lovingly. Listen to the first stanza of this song. For Christ and the church, let our voices ring. Let us honor the name of our own blessed King. Let us work with a will and the strength of youth and joyfully or loyally stand for the kingdom of truth. And so, for Christ and the church, we honor the name of our own blessed King. We praise lovingly. We praise lovingly for the salvation that we have in the church. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the Beloved. Yes, we have a wonderful salvation in Christ, a wonderful relationship with Christ, and for that we praise him lovingly. We also praise him for the righteousness that he brought. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And so for Christ and the church, we praise lovingly for the righteousness that we find within Christ. And then for the faithfulness that we have in Christ as well. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17 we read, That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We certainly look to Jesus and his example so that we can live faithfully and we can undergo those fiery trials that Peter talks about here so that we can be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then for Christ and the church, let us praise lovingly in our worship. We worship together upon the first day of the week, doing various things, singing praises to God, offering prayers, partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving of our means, and of course studying God's Word together. And so as we worship God, we understand that we are praising lovingly. Hebrews 2 and verse 12 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So for Christ and the church, let us praise lovingly. But secondly, for Christ and the church, let us pray fervently. Listen to the second stanza of this song. For Christ and the church, be our earnest prayer. Let us follow his banner, the cross, daily bear. Let us yield, wholly yield, to the gospel's power and serve faithfully every day, every hour. We pray for the church. We pray fervently. We pray for one another. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 that we are to pray fervently for our enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. As we're praying fervently, we also want to pray for those who are sick and afflicted. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. James chapter 5 and verse 13. We need to pray for more workers to come into the harvest. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, and verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then we need to pray for those preaching the gospel. And I'm certainly thankful for the prayers that have been uttered today on my behalf in order to preach and teach God's word faithfully. But listen to what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. In other words, what he's saying is that if you enjoy studying God's word and enjoy the freedom of being able to meet together to worship, if you understand that and you appreciate that, then pray that that would be the case not only here but everywhere. Pray for us. The word of the Lord may have free course. Pray for love to abound. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. It is sometimes difficult to love one another because of the various things that people do that tend to set us off sometimes, or that tend to annoy us or aggravate us, or people do things sometimes that don't meet our expectations, and we have to deal with that. And most of the time, the problem isn't them, the problem is us, you know. And so that's why we need to cultivate within our lives a very deep sense of love for one another. Because it's in those times that we're aggravated that, in fact, our love is tested and tried. And we need to abound in love all the time, more and more, the Apostle Paul said. And so pray that our love would abound. Pray that God will open doors for the gospel to be preached in our community. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We have great opportunity in our community to go out and to talk about the Bible with others and to discuss with them God's word. Let's pray for those open doors. Let's pray that God will open those doors and that he'll keep them open. And then that we'll be able to go and talk to people who are interested in studying and learning so that they can learn more about God and his word. Pray that God will open doors. And so for Christ and the church, let us pray fervently. Number three, for Christ and the church, let us give willingly. Listen to the third stanza of this wonderful song. For Christ and the church, willing offerings make, time and talents and gold, for the dear master's sake. We will render the best we can bring to him, the heart's wealth of love that will never grow dim. And so, for Christ and the church, let us give willingly. We need to follow the example of that widow in Luke chapter 21 in verses 1 to 4, who, as Jesus was standing there observing those casting their contributions into the treasury in the temple, she came up and cast in two mites. And then Jesus commended her for what she had done, that she had cast in more than all the others. And the disciples were curious at that because they had seen very wealthy men, you know, come up and dump loads and loads of coins into the treasury there in the temple. Jesus said, well, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave all that she had. And I think that's a very great lesson for us to learn and to understand. God wants us to give willingly. You know, it's not hard to give out of one's abundance. In fact, we wonder sometimes whether or not we're just giving the leftovers to God and we're not giving Him the first fruits like we ought to be doing. And so we need to be willing to give. We need to give willingly. And that's part of the message of this song. Of course, when our heart is given to God, then all the other giving is going to fall into place. Jesus wants us to be giving people. We had a great lesson during our gospel meeting by Brother Mike Price when he asked the question, are we givers or are we takers? You know, and his lesson was based upon Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, where Paul quotes Jesus saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to be givers. We need to do what we need to do in order to give. Why? It's for our own benefit. It's for our own blessing. We don't want it to sound selfish or anything like that, because obviously when we give, we certainly help others in that regard as well. But giving is a blessed activity when we're doing it in the right way, for the right reason, the right motive. And so we need to give willingly. We need to be cheerful and happy to help in the work of the Lord. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Not grudgingly. That is, the idea is, you know, I really don't want to let go of this money, but okay, I'll go ahead and give it. Or of necessity. The idea there is, well, it's the Lord's command that I give, so I guess I'll go ahead and give. No, no. God doesn't want us to give like that. He doesn't want us to give holding on to that money with one hand. He doesn't want us to give thinking, well, this is just something I'm commanded to do, so I must. He wants us to freely give, to give willingly, to give cheerfully, to be glad and joyous about our giving. And so we need to give willingly. When we understand how to give, we will understand that we are supplying the needs of the saints and aiding the church's reputation. Think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. For the administration of this service, that is, when you give, it supplies not only the wants or the needs of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. You see, when we give, we are taking care of the needs that the saints have. We're taking care of the needs that the church has. We are providing for others. We're helping others. We're also furthering the work of the gospel and many things like that. But there's a lot of other things that happen when we give. Many thanksgivings abound to God when we give. Did you know that there are people who are thankful for you because you've given to them? There are. And they may not even be here right now. There are people who aren't even in this country who are thankful for you because you've given to them. And so when we give, many thanksgivings abound. And that's a great thing, because God hears those thanksgivings. And He knows and understands exactly what the relationships are, every single one of them. And He appreciates the good that is being done. We give to aid all as we have opportunity. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, as we have opportunity, those who come by and need certain things, we have things ready to give them. We have a food pantry. We help people with gas. We support people who are in need, you know, occasionally, as they come by. As we have opportunity, we give to all men. We need to give with a willing mind, according to what we have, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So don't worry about what you can't give. Just give what you can in a willing and happy way. You know, don't beat yourself up. Well, I wish that I could give, you know, so much more. Well, maybe you do. But that's not what God is interested in. He's interested in what you can do. One of the great principles of the Bible that we learn about as you study through the Bible is that God understands what we can and what we can't do. And He understands that when we give according to our ability, that we're doing what we can. And we can do a lot. And so let's give with a willing mind. And then let's give to aid the cause of Christ. Think about what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Now think about that one small, simple act, giving someone a cup of water. There's not a big show in that. That's not something that's so great and grand that everyone is going to take notice of it. That's a very simple act in a very simple way. But yet, Christ mentioned that more than mentioning giving all kinds of wealth and hordes of coins and dollars, you know, things like that. No, he looked at that one simple act of giving a cup of water and he said, you know what, this really is something that is to be commended. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. So for Christ and the church, let us give willingly. And then finally, for Christ and the church, let us serve faithfully. We serve faithfully knowing that Christ gives the inheritance. And what a wonderful inheritance that we have waiting for us. Eternal life. Life with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit forever. In complete fellowship and perfect love with God. What a wonderful blessing that will be to be with them one day. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul wrote, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. There is a great inheritance waiting for us. An inheritance, you know, is something that we receive from those who have gone on before us and have had possessions. And then when they pass away, they leave those possessions to others. And then we receive that inheritance. Well, the inheritance that we will receive in heaven will be something that we can all enjoy, that is given from the Father to the Son, Jesus the Christ. And then by virtue of our being in the family, by being brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ in His body, the church, we will receive that great inheritance as well. Let us serve faithfully knowing that Christ gives the inheritance. Let us serve faithfully knowing that we are serving God, not mammon. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is all of those material things, the world, possession, wealth, gold, silver, automobiles, houses, lands, all of those things that men value, you know, very highly. Well, we can't pursue mammon and serve God faithfully. Jesus said, you've got to choose. It's either one or the other. And if we want to be faithful, we will serve God and not mammon. For Christ and the church, let us serve faithfully, serving God, not mammon. For Christ and the church, let us serve faithfully, watching and waiting for the second coming of Christ. Consider what Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Watching. What did he mean by that? He meant that we haven't given up, that we are continuing to wait, that we are continuing patiently to endure what is happening in this life, and longingly and with hope and expectation, looking for the second coming of Christ. We are waiting. We are watching. We are being faithful. Let us serve faithfully watching. Let us serve faithfully following Christ. If any man serve me, Jesus said, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John chapter 12 and verse 26. And so we need to be followers of Christ, servants of Christ, if we want to be honored by Jesus' Father. For Christ and the church, let us serve faithfully, serving one another lovingly. In Galatians 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We need to use the freedom that we have, the liberty that we have, to make good choices. The flesh, on the one hand, poses a choice that we can make of pursuing that and identifying with that and using our freedom to serve the flesh. But of course, that will end us up in bondage. But if we use the freedom that we have not to pursue the lust of the flesh, not to pursue the desires of the flesh, but by love to serve one another, that is, the freedom that we have to love, first of all, and then in that love recognize that we need to serve one another, then we are truly serving one another lovingly. When we're faithful, we're going to do that. We're going to look for ways that we can help each other. We're going to try to serve one another. We're going to try to do things that are going to provide for one another and help one another. We need to serve lovingly. And then we want to serve God with reverence and godly awe, with the appropriate respect that we need to have for God and His Word. In Hebrews 12 and verse 28, the writer says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." We don't want to serve God in a way that is not respectful toward Him. We don't want to serve God in a way that is not understanding the nature of God and His holiness. We want to serve God in a way that is going to really honor Him. And we do that when we follow His Word and we do what He says to do, to love Him and to serve Him and to worship. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 7. And without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing unto Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. So we need to serve God with reverence and godly awe. And then let us serve faithfully until the very last day of our life. Revelation 2 and verse 10, the last part of that verse is, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life." Let us serve faithfully. For Christ and the church, let us cast aside, by His conquering grace, change of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched by an aim so grand, then happy the call to the Savior's right hand. What a beautiful song, what beautiful sentiments in this song, what wonderful thoughts that we have regarding Christ and the church. And then the chorus says this, "For Christ, our dear Redeemer, for Christ, the crucified, for the church, His blood has purchased, the church, His holy bride." I hope that you will think about your relationship with Christ and the church, and think about how that you can praise God lovingly in His body, the church. How you can pray fervently for Him to bless our efforts here. How you can give willingly so that we can go forth, accomplish the Lord's will together. And how we can serve faithfully until the end of our life, so that one day He may say unto us, "Well done, thou good and faithful, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Have you been serving Christ faithfully in your life? If you need to make correction in that regard, you can do so at this time. If you need to become a child of God so as to be added to the church, the kingdom of God, you can do that this evening through hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Whatever your need may be, won't you come now for Christ and the church, while together we stand and while we sing.